Let us begin by thanking all of our sponsors. So thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Tammuz. Rabbi Naftali Tilson from Eretz Yisrael for dedicating all of his Shurim and Drashos this month in commemoration of the yard site of his parents, Rabbi Yonah ben Avram Leib, Rivka Bas Yaakov, and in the merit of the entire Shir, may be Zoche Meretz Hashem to continue to swim through the Amshel Talmud together, and the merit of the Shem Shav and Aliyah and the families in the Chama. They got a week of learning sponsors, Tova Nes Aver, in dedication of the Shir and all of the Torah Baruch Hashem that we are Zocha to learn together. To thank Jacob and Julie Blumenfeld for dedicating the week of learning as well, the Eloi Nishmas, Jacob's grandmother, Hena Bas Mordechai Zichron Lebracha, and their Dafyomi sponsors for today, Ms. Judy Werner, in creation of the yard site of her mother, Rachel Bas David Mordechai Zichron Lebracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the Neshamas will have an Aliyah and the families in the Chamorah. So we also dedicate our learning in the zechus of all of the precious soldiers of the IDF. We're aware of following the news of the massive operation happening now in Jenin, an effort to go ahead and rid the world of pure evil and prevent the senseless loss of lives that have taken so many beautiful neshamas over the course of the last few months. We hope, we daven, we learn that our soldiers will be successful in Meretz Hashem in all of their missions and be zocha Meretz Hashem to come home to their families b'shalom. And lastly, we take the opportunity to wish everyone a happy 4th of July. You know, it is so important that even though, again, I always speak about this, that even though, again, as Jews, libeinu b'mizrach, right, our hearts are in Eretz Yisrael. Halavai will be zocha one day that our bodies will follow suit, right? And we know that for the Jew, there is only one homeland. Yet until that great day when we go home, we are privileged to be citizens of this great country. And on this day, when we celebrate the founding of this country, we have to be makir tov, not just to the founding fathers, and not just to all of those who have literally given of themselves and given of their lives to be able to allow us to have what we have today, but also to be makir tov, to the Ribono Shel Olam, for even though we are in Galus, and it's important that we remind ourselves each and every day that we are in diaspora, but that we are zocha to be in a galus that is so supportive of our ruchnius, that we have the ability to become the best Judaic version of ourselves, that we have the ability to observe, that we have the ability to learn, and that those rights are protected. Again, just follow the latest Supreme Court ruling, and you can see that we live in a land where the law of the land protects our ability to be Torah observant Jews. That is not something we should take for granted, because historically the Jew in diaspora did not have those rights and did not have those entitlements. So it's true, we're not where we need to be yet. But until we get there, we are privileged, Baruch Hashem, to be in a land, to be in a country that allows us to practice, to daven, to learn, to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to our heart's desires. And for that, we must have Hakaras HaTov to the country, to its leadership, to its armed forces, and to the Ribono Shel Olam as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should continue to bless this country with the strength, but most importantly, with the moral clarity. With the moral clarity to be able to be a leader, not just here within our borders, but in Meretz Hashem on the worldwide stage as well. We'll say with that, let us begin. So our daf today is Mem Tes 49. We are picking up, as Menachem Schoenfeld just reminded me, we only got to the Gemara yesterday. Right? It was so we have to pick up to the Gemara, but in Meretz Hashem, it's okay. It's a little bit of it's not short. So we're going to start. We'll say, so remember again, the Mishnah, the new parak, introduced us to the concept. It's actually going to be really very interesting. The halachas concerning payments. And the notion that different obligations are paid from different types of property. So for example, again, the Mishnah really gave us three categories we're going to focus on. So nizikin, damages. Damages are paid from best property, what we call idis, right? Loans. We'll call it loans. Balchov, loans or financial obligations ultimately paid from benonis, middle grade property, and ksuvas isha paid from ziburis, lowest grade property. Now, I will say, what I just want to point out is something very important, which is, I know you know this, but I'll say it anyway. When we speak about, for example, paying damages from property, so that presupposes that what? That the damager doesn't have money. In other words, remember, when Reuven damages Shimon, and now Reuven is chayev for damages, So ultimately, again, generally, so if you have cash, you pay in cash. Right? Say you caused $5,000 worth of damages, you pay $5,000 in cash. When we speak about paying in real estate, that presupposes that a person doesn't have any liquid assets. So because he has no cash, we're going to seize property in satisfaction, ultimately, again, of this debt. Good, so let's begin. Says the Gemara, Meitikun Olam, the Mishnah said, that damages you pay in Idis. And the Mishnah said, why do you pay for damages in Idis, best property? Meitikun Olam. The Gemara says, Tikun Olam, Daraisahu. It's Daraisa that you pay for damages in best property. Dichsiv, Meitav Sadeu, Umeitav Karmo Yishalim. Both say it's pretty explicit. The Torah says you pay from the best of your field and the best of your vineyard. So it's a biblical obligation that the damager has to pay with idis. To which the Gemara says, no, Am Rabbi Lo Tzricha El Rabbi Yishmael. Listen to this. This is neither according to Rabbi Yishmael, the Amar Midaraisa Bidinizak Shaiminan. Or we'll say, watch this. And now, we're going into this. Now, this is in accordance with Rabbi Yishmael. I'm just going to read it and we'll get into it. Rabbi Yishmael's Rabbi said that when we speak about paying in accordance with the best property, who's the best property? So Rabbi Shmuel holds Bidinizek. Ultimately, we look at the damaged party's best property. Because of Tikkun HaOlam, for the benefit of society, we pay or we assess with the best of the damager's properties. What are you talking about? My Rabbi Shmuel. Here we go. The pasuk says, the pasuk itself is talking about the halachas of damages, and says, when Reuven damages Shimon, we pay in accordance with the best of his field and the best of his vineyard. So we'll say, so once again, what is this talking about? Meitav sedeo shal nizak, umeitav karmo shal nizak, the Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says it actually refers to the best property of the damaged party. When assessing damages, we gauge damages in accordance with the best of the damaged party's property. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, no, that's not what it means. What it means is that Allah Chalamaisa, when Reuven damages Shimon, so ultimately again, we pay Bidamazik in accordance with the damager's property. And it's telling us that when you're paying with property, you have to pay of the choicest property. And I will say, now understand, you're thinking to yourself, well, one second, the value is the value. Right? In other words, Reuven's damaging Shimon. Right? Let's just assume right now, Reuven's caused $5,000 of damage. So we'll say, what is Shimon going to get? $5,000. Now again, in the ideal, what is Shimon getting? Cash. Reuven doesn't have cash. So now we'll say, we're getting into, well, what kind of property do you pay Shimon with? Who cares? $5,000 is $5,000 of property. We'll say, it doesn't matter. Why? Because the halacha always works under the assumption that a person would rather have $5,000 of Idis property than $5,000 of Benonis or Ziburis property, which makes sense. Because the better the property, the what? The Pashtos, the more liquid it is. Right? The more liquid it is. So that's why, again, that even though the bottom line valuation, you're going to get the same amount, but it's in the damaged party's best interest to receive Idis. So I just want to point out, what you just saw over here is the fundamental machlokes you're going to reference a number of times between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, that when assessing damages, right? Here's what we agree with, right? Everyone agrees that when you damage someone, if you don't have money to pay with, and you pay with property, the property you pay with is Idis, best property. The question I will say is, whose Idis are we assessing damages with? Is it the Idis of the damager, right? Of the Mazik, the damager Reuven? Or is it the Idis, ultimately, again, of the Nizak, the damaged party? So this is totally not clear. It's not clear yet how exactly this works. So the Gemara says, let me analyze this. Rabbi Shmuel, Achol Shmena Meshalim Shmena. So we'll say, now watch this. Let's take a simple case. Reuven's animal ventures into Shimon's field and consumes a row of produce. So obviously, if it ate a robust row of produce, right? Shmena literally means fat. Whereas if it ate like a good row of produce, so obviously you're going to pay back with a good row of produce. Achol kechush meshalim shmena. But Rabbi Shmuel, are you saying that if Reuven's ox ate a very lean row of produce, that you would have to pay back with a robust row of produce? Is that what you mean when you say we always pay in accordance with the iddis of the nizak, the best property of the damaged party? That doesn't make any sense. On Rabbi Dibar Avin, Hacham Haskinu, what's the case? Kigon sha'achla aruga bin arugos, v'lo yadina ikechusha, achal ishmeina achal, dimishalim leimim meitav. No, Rabbi Sarit, Rabbi Shlomo means is like this. The Rabbi Sarit, listen to the following case. Reuven's ox ventures into Shimon's field. Shimon has a field, right? And a bunch of rows of produce. Some of the rows are grade A produce. Some of them are grade B. Some of them are grade C. What happened? Reuven's ox ate a row of produce. And what don't we know? We don't know which row he ate. To which Rabbi Shmuel will say, what do you do in that kind of case? Reuven has to pay Shimon in accordance with the row of produce. But what kind of row of produce? What kind of row? Iddis. Okay. So Rabbi said, it doesn't make any sense. Amar Rava, Ilu yadinim di kechusha, achal mishalim kechusha. So Rabbi says, it doesn't make any sense. Because let's play this out. Let's say we know that Reuven's ox consumed a row of kechusha. We'll call it ziburis. Inferior produce. Reuven would have to pay a row of inferior produce. Hashta de lo yadinan, mishalim shmena. Now that we don't know what Reuven's animal damaged, Reuven has to pay of the best property. Hamotzi mechavera lav haraya. So Rabbi said, why can't Reuven say to Shimon, Shimon, listen, I'll pay you for a row of produce, but I'm paying you for a row of inferior produce. Right? If you could prove that my animal ate more than that, I'm happy to pay you. But Rabbi said, but again, Dine, right? So again, Dine Mamanis 101 is that the burden of proof to extract money rests upon the damaged party. In other words, again, Reuven will agree, I'm going to pay you, obviously, for a row of produce, but I don't have to pay you for anything more than a ziburis row of produce, unless you could prove otherwise. Ela Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Mosei Tap of Memtes, Hacha Ma'askinon, what's the case? Kigon Shahaisa Idis Denizik, Kiziburis Demazik. So Rabbi said, this is an interesting case. What's the case, Rabbi Mosei? So Reuven damages Shimon. Reuven damages Shimon, and the case in hand, or the case we're discussing over here, Reuven doesn't have cash on hand to pay. And an interesting case, Rabbi Mosei, where, ultimately, again, so Shimon's Idis, Shimon's best property, is on the same level as Reuven's most inferior property. Okay, so that's the case over here. Idis denizak, so ultimately Reuven, when looking at Reuven's portfolio, Reuven's estate, so Reuven's best property is on the same level as, Shimon's best property, Shimon's the damaged party. Shimon's best property is on the same level as Reuven the damager's least expensive property, Ziburis. Now look at Rashi, Abosai. Rashi says over here, Rashi says, Now Rashi clarifies this. Here it is. Let's play this out. Right? Reuven has an ox. Reuven's ox damages, and by the way, it doesn't have to be an ox, it's any case it damages, but let's just keep it according with the Gemara. Reuven's ox wanders into Shimon's field, eats a row of produce. Let's say for our purposes right now, we know exactly which row it ate. It turns out, it's $1,000 in crops. So what does Bezin say to Reuven? What does Bezin say to Reuven? $1,000. Reuven says, I'm cash poor. Okay, so now in order to satisfy this, we're going to have to go ahead and pay in property. So now watch this. So now we begin to look at their estates. So the Gemara says, "Vamra einli maos laparo yitol karka v'demei maos nisko ubalak bosa miziburis shalo v'itov." So now watch this. So now, how do you assess, what kind of land do you seize in satisfaction of this debt of damages? Rabbi Shmuel Savar b'denizak shaminan. Rabbi Shmuel Savar said, listen to this. The way we assess damages is through the iddis of the damaged party. Shabbos said, what this means is, we look at Shimon's portfolio. We see Shimon, what's the best type of land you have? We look at that type of land, and that's the type of land that Reuven, the damager, is obligated to pay Shimon. Okay, Shabbos says, so again, remember, what is everyone agreeing on? Everyone is agreeing that damages are paid through what? Or paid with what? Iddis. The Shaila is, whose iddis are you valuating this by? Rabbi Shmuel says, and I'll say, Rabbi Shmuel is an interesting chiddush, right? Rabbi Shmuel says, we look at the iddis of the damaged party, and now Reuven, that's what you're obligated to pay. That's what you're obligated to pay. In other words, that type of property, that sug of property, that's what you're obligated to do. Rabbi Kiva Savar, no. B'demazik Shaimina, no, that's not true. In other words, we pay with the iddis of the damaged party. Before we go on, Let me start again. Rabbi Shmuel says, we pay with the iddis of the damaged party. That's called bidinizak shayminon. Rabbi Akiva says, we pay with the iddis of the damager. The damager, right? Reuven, that's called bidamazik shayminon. Rabbi says, just before we go on, now you'll see where does this become intriguing. Where this becomes intriguing is the case we just mentioned. I will say, imagine for just a moment, Reuven's much wealthier than Shimon. So what happens? Reuven's ziburis is the equivalent to Shimon's iddis. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, all Reuven is going to have to pay is what? Essentially, from his own portfolio, is going to be what? Ziburis. Right? Because his ziburis is like Shimon's iddis. According to Rabbi Akiva, Reuven is going to have to pay from his own iddis. Just interesting. So watch this. So my time with Rabbi Shmuel. I just want to point out this machlokas. This is very exciting. This is not really getting stuff, right? It's only here. Remember again, the only reason this is here is because we brought up the discussion about ksuva, that ksuva is paid from ziburis. So once we're talking about how ksuva is paid, we bring up Rabbi Shmuel. But this is going to be. This is big Baba Kama stuff that we're going to talk about in Mir Hashem. In any event, the Gemara says as follows. My time, Rabbi Shmuel. What's Rabbi Shmuel's logic? Ne'emra sada lemato, ve'ne'emra sada lemalo. It says sada in the beginning, right? Or at the end of the pasuk, and sada in the beginning of the pasuk. Mas sada amur lemalo, just like sada at the beginning of the pasuk, which talks about the field that was damaged. Dinizak. Af sada amur lemato, dinizak. Just like the sada at the beginning of the pasuk is talking about the sada of the damaged party, so too when it says metav sadeu, that you pay back from iddis, is talking about the iddis of the damaged party, the nizak. Rabbi Kiva Savar, metav sadeu yishalim. Rabbi Kiva says, no, just read the pasuk normally, just be normal, Rabbi Kiva says. Right? They will say, so read the pasuk normally, meaning what the pasuk says, metav sadeu yishalim, pay from the best of your field, the heich to kamashan. Who is it talking to? The guy who's paying, i.e. the mazik. And it means mazik, pay with the best of your field. So Rabbi say, this is the raging machlokas. Rabbi Shmuel, ahani gzir shava, ahani kra. Rabbi Shmuel says the gzir shava and the pasik both help. Ahani gzir shava chada amran. So we'll say the gzir shava helps, as we just said. Because according to Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi say, just like again, the sada at the beginning of the field is the sada of the damaged party, so to the sada at the end of the field, which talks about payment, is talking about the sada of the damaged party as well. What about the pasuk? Ahani kra di lesle lemazik idis viziburis. This is the most idea. Islay lemazik idis viziburis. That if the damaged, right, is a damager. Reuven is the mazik, the damager. If the damager has idis and ziburis, so Rabbi Osai, right, he has best property, low grade property. Viziburis dide lo shavya ki idis denizak, and ultimately, again, Rabbi Osai, but let's say his ziburis is not like the idis of the nizak, the mishanli meitav. So Rabbi Osai, here's what I'll point out to you. What happens if, according to Rabbi Shmuel, what happens if, for argument's sake, right, Reuven doesn't have property that is equivalent to Shimon's iddis, right? So this would be the reverse case. This would be the case where, let's say, Shimon is wealthier than Reuven. So now, Reuven doesn't have property that measures up to Shimon's iddis. So what does he do in that case? What does he do in that case? He pays from the best of his property. In other words, he does the best that he can. Okay. Rabbi Akiva will say, "Lo ba kasam el lig bos lenizakim min aidis fakavachomer lahekdish." Shabbos say, "So okay, let's pause over here because this is actually very exciting, very exciting." Shabbos say, "Well, here's what we have. We have a Mishnah that tells us hanizakim shalom min aidis. Whenever you damage someone again, and you don't have cash to pay back the damages, you pay from iddis property. You pay from best property." Shabbos say, "So now what's our machlokas? Machlokas Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel." Who's iddis? So now we know the case. The case is Reuven damages Shimon. They go to Beis Din. Beis Din says, Reuven, you owe Shimon $5,000. Pay up. Right? Reuven says, I have no cash. No problem. Right? We'll take credit card as well. Right? No problem. Right? Otherwise, no problem. We'll just take property. Shabbat will say, what type of property it is. So now the shayla is, who, in accordance with whose valuation of idis do we assess these damages? Rabbi Shmuel will say, we look at the damaged party, right? What we call the nizik, Shimon. We say, Shimon, okay, what's your best property? Let's go ahead, let's see what $5,000 of your idis looks like. And now, Reuven, that's what you're obligated to pay. Right? Rabbi Kiva says, no. We look at Reuven's portfolio. We say, Reuven, what does $5,000 of your idis look like? And that's what you'll pay with. That's the machlokas. So it says the Gemara. Rabbi Akiva, so the Gemara says as follows. So remember again, Rabbi Akiva said, back to the beginning of the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva said, Lo ba'akos alakbos l'nizakim min ha'idis kavachomer lahekdish. Rabbi Akiva said, when paying from damages, you have to pay for damages from idis, and it's a kavachomer from hekdish. Gemara says, what's kavachomer lahekdish? My kavachomer lahekdish. Ilema, listen to this, dinakhe tura didan tura de hekdish. They both say, this is incredible. If we're talking about a case where my ox, right, or called Reuven's ox, gored an ox of Hekdish, they both say, listen to this. We'll say, what is the liability if your ox gores an ox of Hekdish? Interestingly enough, zero liability. Why? Shore'eyu amrachmana below shorshal Hekdish. They both say, there is only liability for goring another Jew's ox. There is no liability for goring Hekdish ox. Interesting. Right, because the Torah phrases it as shore'ehu. If your ox gores the ox of your fellow, which means that it has to be another yid, not of Hekdish. Interestingly enough, Ela lo omer, harei alai mana lebadek habayis. Maybe the case is like this. Let's say, Reuven says, I hereby take upon myself to give a mana. Mana is an amount of money. $1,000 to bedek habayis. Da'asi gizbar b'shakal mi'idis. We'll say, ultimately, what happens in that case? The gizbar, who is the temple treasurer, he comes and he collects it from idis, from the best of your property. Lo yehe elabalchov. One say, why is that so? We'll say, if I pledge $1,000 to the Beis HaMikdash, so what am I? I'm a debtor. Beis HaMikdash is my creditor. We'll say, what did the Mishnah say? What are debts collected from? Beinonis. Lo yehe elabalchov, vubalchov tino bebeinonis. V'chi tema kasav Rabbi Akiva balchov shakal beidis. Maybe Rabbi Akiva holds that a creditor, right, is able to collect from idis, kinizakin, just like damages. You could ask a pircha, Mala Balchov Shekin Yafa Kocho Benezikin. I would say Balchov is different. Right? Because Stama Balchov ultimately, again, has powers when it comes to damages. With damages, he's able to collect from Idis. Tamar Behekdish Shahora Kocho Benezikin. I would say Benezikin. Remember again, Hekdish has lesser rights when it comes to damages. What I would say, as we just said before, what happens if you damage a shar of Hekdish? What happens? Nothing. You're free from liability. The olam. So what's the case? So we're just trying to figure out. Rabbi Akiva made a statement, and his statement was: you always collect for damages from idis kal v'chomer from hekdish. We just don't know what the kal v'chomer from hekdish is. So I have the gemara like this: the olam dinach chetura didon the turah de hekdish. Watch this. It was very exciting. We'll say, so rather, what happened? My ox damaged the ox of hekdish, and now what happened? Rabbi Akiva, Savar like Rabbi Shimon Manasya, and Rabbi Akiva is like Rabbi Shimon Manasya. Oh, where's Rabbi Shimon Manasya? Say this sign here. Here we go. Rabbi Shimon Manasya, Omer, Shor Shal Hekdish, Shenagach L'Shor Shal Hadyot, Pater. So also listen to this. If a Shor of Hekdish goes ahead and gores a Shor of another Yid, it will say, what's Talacha? Pater. Why? Well, you know, it's like diplomatic immunity. Right? The Hekdish is not liable. On the other hand, V'Shal Hekdish, Shenagach L'Shor Shal Hekdish, I would say, but again, if my ox gores the ox of Hekdish, bein tam, bein muad, mishalik nezek shalim. Wow. I would say, but if my ox gores an ox of Hekdish, whether my ox is a first-time offender or a habitual offender, what's the halacha? Complete damages. So I would say, maybe Rabbi Akiva holds like this. So maybe what Rabbi Akiva is saying is, halacha lamaisa, whenever you, so I would say, if Hekdish damages you, zero liability. If you damage Hekdish, then what? Complete liability. Iachi. That's fine, I would say. So that works fine. But Iachi, my debi idis, right? Dinizak, kiziburis, I'm sorry, Iachi, mimai, So ultimately, again, if that's the case, how do you know that we're setting this up, as we said before, as a case where the idis of the nizak is like the ziburis of the mazik? That's what we said beginning of Amun Aleph. Dilma, the kuli ama bid nizak shayminan. I was saying maybe everyone agrees, in fact, that we always go ahead and evaluate for damages. We always evaluate idis in accordance with the damaged party. Vahacha beplukta to Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, but Rabbanon kamiflagi. And maybe over here there's just Simon Machlokis, Rabbi Shimon Manasseh, and Rabbanon. That what I will say, remember again, what's the machlokis? The machlokis is what happens if you damage Hekdish. The Rabbanon will say, if you damage Hekdish, Rabbanon will say, what's your liability? What's your liability? Zero. Rabbi Shimon Manasseh says, what's your liability when you damage Hekdish? 100%. Rabbi Akiva suffer like Rabbi Shimon Manasseh. Rabbi Akiva is like Rabbi Shimon Manasseh. Rabbi Shmuel suffer like Rabbanon. And Rabbi Shmuel holds that ultimately, again, like Rabbanon. Therefore, again, there's whenever you damage Hekdish, there's nothing due to Hekdish. Im came my lo b'hakasav. If that's the case, why do you need that phrase lo b'hakasav? Va'od my kavu chomer lehekdesh. What's the kavu chomer? Va'od hamar Rav Ashi. I will say amud beis hamar Rav Ashi. Tanya behedja. We learned explicitly meitav sadeu umeitav karmel yishalim. When the pasuk says by damages that you pay of the best of your field and the best of your vineyard. So I will say, what do we say? So meitav sadeu shal nizak. Umeitav kamar shal nizak div Rabbi Shmuel, right? Rabbi Shmuel holds that it's the best property of the damaged party. Rabbi Akiva omer meitav sedeo shal mazik, umeitav kamar shal mazik. So Rabbi Akiva, so once again, it repeats the statement, the positions of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Akiva, again, we're still not clear from Rabbi Akiva's perspective what that kalachomer of Hekdish was. So if I was saying, so Rabbi Akiva, let's pause over here. So remember again, stop here for just a second. So remember, what are we trying to do? What are we trying to do? You're like, that is an excellent question, right? I've actually been wondering the same thing for the last 30 minutes. So remember again, I'll tell you. Here's what we're trying to do. It's a good muster in life. Sometimes, even if you don't know what it is that you're trying to accomplish, you just have to keep on trying to accomplish. Sometimes, again, the goal in life is just move. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm doing. But just keep moving forward, because something amazing happens. That sometimes if you just keep moving yourself forward, at a certain point in time, you will have clarity what you are moving towards and why you are moving towards it. Here's your moment of clarity. So again, the Mishnah says, right? The Mishnah says a statement. Nizakin shamin lahen be'idis. When you damage someone, you pay an idis. Now, the Mishnah said why? Mipnei tikun ha'olam. For the benefit of society. For the benefit of society. The Gemara says benefit of society, it's a pasuk. Right? It's a pasuk. What does the pasuk say? Shabbos said, just so you understand, the pasuk that we're talking about over here is Ki yaver ish sada, it's Shmos Chaf Beis Dalet. Ki yaver ish sada okeren v'shilach es b'iro v'ubir b'steacher. We'll say, again, my animal goes and damages in another property. Meitav sadeu u'meitav karmo yishalim. You repay the best. Idis. Right? From the best of your property, from the best of your field, from the best of your vineyard. Shabbos said, the Gemara says, I will say now, whenever we see a phrase, we always assume, what does Tikkun HaOlam mean? What does it mean? Drabanon. Right? That's always how we see Drabanon. So the Gemara says, you pay Nizakin from Idis, Drabanon, it's a Doraisa. The Gemara says, you're right. So what does it mean it's a Tikkun HaOlam, I will say? Ultimately, again, I will say, really, really, what it means is like this. It's reflecting the view of Rabbi Yishmael. Watch this. Rabbi Yishmael says, the midda oraisa, when you pay of idis, whose idis are you paying off? Rabbi Shmuel, whose idis? The niza, the damaged party. Okay, pause. Hit the pause button over here. There's a raging machlokes. What's the raging machlokes? Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Reuven damages Shimon. $5,000 worth of damage. Reuven has no cash on hand. What does Beis Din do? Beis says, Reuven, you're going to pay Shimon with property. What kind of property? Idis property. That's the Doraisa. Now, Rabbosai Machlokis, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, whose Idis do you evaluate based on? Rabbi Akiva says, the damager, Reuven. We look at Reuven's portfolio. Reuven, you pay Shimon $5,000 of your Idis. Rabbi Shmuel says, no. We pay the Idis, ultimately, again, of the damaged parties, Shimon's property. They both say, you say to yourself, that sounds so counterintuitive, Rabbi Shlomo, why do you say that? Where does Rabbi Shlomo get this from? Gzira Shava says Sada twice in the Pasuk. Just like the first Sada is referring to the Sada of the damaged party, so to the second Sada, Meitav said that without paying with Idis, that also refers to the Sada of the damaged party. Okay, now that's the Machlokas. So now, he rehit the play button. So Rabbi says, so now, comes the Gemara and says, our Mishnah is reflective of the Viv Rabbi Shmuel. And in reality, midda oraisa, you should really go ahead and pay Idis from the damaged party's Idis, based on the valuation of the damaged party's Idis. But mipnei tikuna olam, we say, pay Idis from the damager's Idis. That's the tikun olam. So we'll say, so the da'oraisa is, again, Mishnah effects of Rabbi Shmuel, the da'oraisa is, I want to be clear. When we say, I know you know this, I'm just going to say it. When we say that you pay from the idis of the damaged party, of course, remember again, the damaged party is not paying something, but rather again, we assess the debt. We look at the idis property of the nizak, of the damaged party. We look at what $5,000 of that idis property looks like, and then we say to the damager, that's what you owe. That's what you owe. You see what that property looks like? That's what you owe. So that's the doraisa. Rabbi Shmuel says, but midrabanan mipnei tikuna olam, we switch it, and we tell the damager, you have to pay $5,000 based on your idis. Now, why we flip it, we don't know yet. That we don't know yet. Fine, I'll tell you. No, I'm not going to tell you. So very quickly, really what it comes down to is Rabbi Shmuel wants to disincentivize people damaging. So what he feels is if a guy knows that he's going to lose $5,000 of his own Idis property, that causes a person to be more vigilant with damaging another. If I know that it's going to hit me in the best of my property, so that incentivizes a heightened vigilance or caution about damaging other people. That's the tikkun olam. So we'll say that's it. That's the last half hour and 5 minutes, right? That's it. So that's our first interpretation of the Mishnah. Now, here we go. Well, say, Mem Tesla base, 49b, four lines down. Ravina Amar, no. So, we'll say, now a second interpretation of the Mishnah. Ravina says, no. Masnisin Rabbi Akivahi. Ooh, okay. So, we'll say, so now this is really interesting, because so now we're going to see two different interpretations in accordance with both opinions of this raging machlokes. So, Ravina says, really, our Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Akiva. We'll say, what does Rabbi Akiva say? Come on. What does Rabbi Akiva say? I said, you have to know this as well. I was going to say as well as your kid's birthday, but I realized that might not be such a good thing. Right? Or maybe not such a good example for some. So Rabbi Akiva holds b'damazik shanina. Right, Rabbi Akiva holds that ultimately, again, we assess damages in accordance with the damager, with Reuven. So really, Mishnah says Rabbi Akiva damar midaraisa b'damazik shanina. I would say really, Rabbi Akiva holds that halacha lemaisa. Again, remember, I will say, what does everyone agree with? Just speaking of, what does everybody agree with? Idis, right? So that's great. Everybody agrees with that. So really, our Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Akiva, who holds that we evaluate damages based on the idis of the damager. The damager, Reuven, we'll call him. So we'll say, so what's going on here? Rabbi Shimon, he did darish, time of dikra. And ultimately, again, really the Mishnah is reflective of Rabbi Shimon. It was very interesting. Rabbi Shimon, darish, time of dikra. And I both say, now this is a general idea. There's a concept, ultimately, again, of darshinan time dekra or in darshinan time dekra. We'll say, do we darshin the reasoning behind mitzvahs or not? Rabbi Yishimon is of the opinion of darshinan time dekra. We go ahead and we extrapolate the reasoning from mitzvahs. Now watch this. Umatamkamer. What the Mishnah, it will say, so when the Mishnah says, mipnei tikun ha'olam, it's not a drabanan. Rather, it's interpreting the reason for the halacha. Ma tam hanizak in shalom be'idis. What is the reason ultimately, again, we go ahead and when you damage someone, you pay ultimately again with idis. Mipnei tikuna olam. for the benefit of society. For the benefit of society. I will say, look at Rashi, Ben Fei Tikkun Olam, Kidik Tani Bebraisa, Shiomar Adam Lama Ani Gozel. And I will say, according to Rabbi Akiva, this is incredible. According to Rabbi Yishmael, Mipnei Tikkun Olam means the Oraisa of the Halacha is one way. Midrabanan, we've reformulated it for the benefit of society. According to Rabbi Akiva, the halacha is you always pay with iddis, and it's the iddis of the damager, of Reuven, right? The mazik. Why? Mipnei tikkun olam. Now, according to Rabbi Akiva, the way you read that phrase is, and why did the Torah structure it that way? That you pay from the iddis of the damager because this is beneficial for society. Why is it beneficial for society? Why does the Torah? Because it will say, when a person knows that when they damage, it's going to hit them in their iddis, right? It's going to hit them in their iddis. Then Rabbi said, then ultimately again, it makes them think twice. So according to Rabbi Akiva, it's incredible. Bifnei tikkun olam ultimately is not a rabbinic interpretation of biblical law, but bifnei tikkun olam is actually the interpretation of the biblical law. Incredible, incredible. Disanya, Rabbi said, here we go. This is a great braisa. Disanya, I'm Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, why is it that ultimately the Torah said that you pay for damages in Iddis? So we'll say, because of thieves. We'll say, a chamson is like an extortionist. Crime doesn't pay, right? Why should I steal? Why should I extort? What's going to happen? Lamachar bezdin yardalim echasai. Vinotlin saden noeshali. This girl will say, what's going to happen? So today I'm going to steal, it's going to be all great. And then tomorrow Bezin is going to come. And what's going to happen? They're going to take my best assets. They're going to take my best assets. So, we'll say, so if a person knows that as a result of crime, their best assets are going to be seized, it totally disincentivizes crime. And they will rely on the pasuk that says, Meitav said, "Deo meitav karma yishalim." That when collecting for damages, you collect of the best property. Lefichach amru hanizakin shamin lahen beidis. So Rabbi said, "This is incredible, incredible." So Rabbi said, "I just want to point out what's happening over here." So this is Ravina's interpretation of the Mishnah. So Ravina understands that no, our Mishnah that says hanizakin shamin lahen beidis reflects the view of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds that ultimately we collect from the iddis of the mazik of the damager, and it reflects the view of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon darshan's time of dikra, he darshan's the reasoning for the psukim, and when the Mishnah says, why do we collect from iddis? For izak mei tikkun olam, that's an interpretation of the biblical law. Torah structures it this way for the benefit of society. Because if a person knows that when they go ahead and steal from someone else, damage someone else, Beis Din is going to come and seize their best property, ultimately it disincentivizes crime, causes a heightened sense of vigilance and caution. Incredible. So then we'll say, now the braisa goes on. So we'll say, ultimately, again, why does a creditor only have to pay back in Beinonis, middle grade property? This is incredible. So ultimately, again, why does a creditor only get to collect from Beinonis? So Rabbi say, this is consumer protection, right? This is ultimately debtor protection. Because Rabbi say, what happens? A guy could say, right, Reuven has a lot of money. And Reuven sees a piece of property that Shimon has that Reuven really likes. Reuven has a great chav. I'm going to lend Shimon an exorbitant amount of money, right? Interest free, why not? And I know Shimon can't pay it back, right? So I say, so what am I going to do? So this guy is going to default on the loan, and I'm going to get to collect that piece of property that I really like. So in order to prevent that from occurring, we cap collection of a bal chov at Beinonis. I says, if that's the case, Alamiata, Yehe Beziburis. So if that's the case, I will say, make it even better. Say that a bal chov could only collect from Ziburis, inferior property. If that's the case, Imkain, Ata Noel Delis Bifnei Lovin. Bossi, here's the problem. If you do that, then no one's going to want to lend money. Remember, again, Bossi, as it is, lending money to a Jew already is not a very advantageous proposition because you cannot, I mean, it's very advantageous because it's a mitzvah, right? But it's not necessarily financially advantageous because you can't charge interest. If you know that all you could collect upon default is ziburis, what's going to happen? No one's going to want to lend money. Incredible. Ksuvas isha biziburis, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So what about a ksuva? So by the way, this is all part of the same brisa. It's a great brisa. Ksuva sisha, ksuva, ultimately again is paid in ziburis, which is inferior property. Then Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir Omer Bebeimah. So Rabbi Meir says, middle grade property. Rabbi Shimon, mipnei ma omru ksuva sisha biziburis. Why do we say that the ksuva of an isha is paid in ziburis? Why? Well, it's incredible. She yose mimasha ish rotze lisa, ha isha rotze linase. That's very interesting. So apparently, you don't have to incentivize marriage for a woman, right? More than a woman wants to get married. Sorry, more than a man wants to get married, a woman wants to get married. So if I will say, you need a ksuva, but ziburis is more than enough. I will say, which again, essentially what it's saying is all a woman needs is a sense of financial security. So as long as that financial security is guaranteed in some way, even if it's ziburis, right, the fact that it's ziburis and not benonis or idis is not going to disincentivize marriage for her. Incredible. Davarach, another possibility is isha yosel irtzona v'shol irtzona. I must say, a woman can be divorced with her will or against her will. Va'ish eino motzia ela lirtzono, but a man only divorces a woman through his will. So I will say, what does that have to do with anything? My davarach, I will say, what does that have to do with this discussion? V'chitema, so we'll say, the Gemara says, you're right, it has nothing to do with this discussion. It's a side point, but listen to this. V'chitema, ki heichid dechi mafik la ihu takin la rabbanan ksuva minei. We'll say, the same way that when a man divorces his wife, so maybe halacha l'maisa, same way when a man divorces his wife, he has to pay her a ksuva, right? So takinu le rabbanan ksuva minei, ki nafka ihi nama litakne le rabbanan ksuva mina. Maybe when the woman is the one who forces the divorce, right? They will say, how does she force a divorce? She's a miserable human being, right? So she's a miserable human being, and he can no longer go ahead and remain married to her. So Lamai say, and maybe she should have to pay him a ksuva. Interesting idea, right? Right, I'm all for equality, right? So it says maybe he should have to go ahead and pay her a ksuva. To which the Gemara says, Tashma. Isha yotze lirtzona, v'shol lirtzona, ba'ish eina motze el lirtzono. So I was like, no, because at the end of the day, even if she's miserable, and the husband cannot live with her, lemaisa, the decision to divorce or not to divorce is his and his alone. Efshar demashi lebegita, ultimately, again, he could go ahead and delay the get, and in an effort to go ahead and try to reconcile, try to help things get back on the rails. So because a get only happens if he wants it, and there's no such thing essentially as a coerced get, therefore, there is no such thing as a reciprocal ksuba. Again, I will say, that last point is really just a side point, but I will say, what comes out is really something absolutely amazing. So what comes out over here is really two dramatically different interpretations of the Mishnah. Right? So we have the first interpretation of the Mishnah, I will say, ultimately again, which is that the Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Yishmael. Right? Rabbi Yishmael holds, b'dinizak sheminan, right? So again, remember, we're just talking about the first line of the Mishnah. Right? Ha'anizakin shaman lahen be'idis, right? You repay damages with idis. So I will say, so first interpretation reflects the view of Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael holds that midda oraisa, how do you pay? Bidinizah, in accordance with the idis of the damaged party. Right? Saloch alamaisa, but midne tikuna olam, in order to disincentivize damages, we flip it and ultimately, again, we make it with the idis of the damager. Right? The mazik. Second interpretation, ultimately, of the Mishnah, Ravina's interpretation, the Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Akiva, namely, b'damazik shaminan, we pay with the idis of the damager. What is mipnei tikkun ha'olam mean? Mipnei tikkun was in accordance with Rabbi Shimon, who darshins time of the dikra, and mipnei tikkun was not drabanan. Mipnei tikkun ha'olam is what? Is an interpretation of the da'oraisa. Why do we go ahead and make you pay idis with the property of the damager? Ultimately, for the benefit of society, once again, this disincentivizes damage, causes people to be more vigilant. And I will say, the underlying machlokis over here is the machlokis Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Ultimately, again, everyone is agreeing that we're going to pay idis. The machlokis is it b'demazik sheminan? Is it the imis idis of the damager? Or is it the idis of the damaged party? That's the machlokis. We'll see the Rambam tomorrow. We'll say about how we pass over here. Let's just go by to just for a few more moments. Ksuvas isha b'ziburis. You pay ksuva of a... So we'll say, first thing in the Mishnah said, ksuva is paid out with ziburis. Says in Amar Azot, Rabbi Rav Nachman, Lor Amar Elam Yasmin. That's only true if you're paying the ksuva from the Yisomim. or as if the ksuba is being paid out from the estate of the yisum. Ava minei didei bebenonis. But ultimately, if it's the husband paying out the ksuba, ultimately, again, he pays the ksuba from benonis. So this statement of Marzutra. So Marzutra says, the payment of the ksuba, or the type of property with which the ksuba is being paid with, depends on who is paying it. If it's the yisumim who are paying it, then ultimately, again, ziburis, right? If it's the husband who's, or the ex-husband who's paying it, then benonis. Says the Gemara, let's analyze this. Miyasmi, my ear ksuba sisha. Now, if we're talking about a case of yisumim, then I will say, why do you have to single out ksuba? Afilu kol milinami. I will say, anything that is paid by yisumim is always paid with ziburis. The hatnan we learned, ein efraim minichse yisumim ela min aziburis. You only pay, I will say, whatever debt is paid from the yisumim, I will say, is only paid with ziburis. Ela lav minei. So it must be that even when collecting from the husband himself, it is only paid with ziburis. To which the Gemara says, no. The ola miyasmi, no, really, it's from the yisumim. Uksuvas isha itzrichale. But I need to teach him about ksuva. Why? Sadcha daitchanina mishumchina kilo barabanon v'gaba. We'll say, I'm going to thought, Rabbi, we'll say mishumchina. Now we'll say mishumchina means that at the end of the day, we want to incentivize marriage for women. We'll say there's like this tension. In other words, do you need to incentivize marriage for women? Not incentivize marriage for women. So I will say, so that ultimately I guess is machlokes. But I might have thought that in order to incentivize marriage for a woman should always be able to collect from benonis. Right? Whether she's collecting from her ex-husband or from the estate of her deceased husband, she should be able to collect from benonis. Kamash malon, though. Kamash malon, again, whenever you are collecting from yisomim, you're only collecting from ziburis. Amar Rava Tashma, Rameir Omer, ksuvas isha bebenonis. Ksuva ben isha is from benonis. So Rava say, miman, who is she collecting from? Ilema miyasmi, if she's collecting from the yisomim, lesle Rabbi Meir, hadisnan, in from minichse yisom, elamina ziburis. Again, I will say, it can't be from the Yisomim, because we've already established, whatever debt is collected from the Yisomim is always collected from what? Always collected from Ziburis. Elalav minei. Rather, must see from the husband. Must see that when she collects her ksuba from her ex-husband, ultimately, again, that is collected from Beinonis. Mechlad Rabbanan Saviz Ziburis. That's a Rabbanan hold that as Ziburis. Loli Olam miyasmi. Rather, once again, I will say, it must from the Yisomim. V'shayni ksubas isha mishumchina. And I will say, maybe ksuva is different. In other words, maybe there is a distinction over here, because maybe halacha lemaisa, what we're in fact saying is that although generally, when you collect from the estate of Yisomim, when you collect, generally it is from Ziburis. Maybe the exception to that rule ultimately is going to be ksuva, that a ksuva gets collected from Benonis, whether she's collecting from Yisomim, or whether she's collecting ultimately again from the husband's Rabosai. So again, I just want to point out over here, just so you understand, the tension over here is, the Rabbanan in the Mishnah say that ksuva collects from Ziburis. Rabbi Meir says, ksuva even gets from Benonis. So what we're just trying to figure out is, who is she collecting from? So in other words, is this Ziburis across the board? That ksuva, whether she's collecting from a husband or from the estate, it's always, or maybe what we're saying is like this, Maybe halacha lemaisa, ziburis means when she's collecting from yisomim. But maybe when she's collecting from the husband, maybe then what? Maybe in fact that's benonis. So we'll say we'll stop over here for today. We're going to pick up Emiratz Hashem with the rest of this discussion, the resolution of Emiratz Hashem tomorrow. We'll say, shkoyach. What a daf. Shkoyach, everyone. All right, Chevron Zoom, have a great day, everyone. Morning, Jack. How are you?
The bottom line, if I understand it, is Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel are not really arguing at the end, because they both agree that you're going to pay the same.